Welcome to the Consciousness Anywhere and Everywhere podcast. I am Shannon O'Hara, and I invite you to a completely new world of possibilities. Greetings and welcome to the Consciousness Anywhere podcast. You are about to listen to a money interview. This is a series that I made with the people who have had the biggest financial impact on me. Each and every one of these people has inspired a different way of thinking about money that freed me up to create in greater ways. I hope you enjoy this money interview series on the Consciousness Anywhere podcast and recognize that wealth can lead to greater awareness. And greater consciousness can also lead to the kind of wealth that works for you and creates the kind of world that you want to live in. Enjoy. Welcome to the Money Interview Series. I am so honored and excited to have Liam Bramley here as one of my interviewees. So as you guys know out there watching this, that this is a series where I get to ask some very direct, specific questions to a bunch of people who have had a massive influence on me around money, finances, receiving, abundance, etc. And Liam is one of those people. Liam, at a very young age, actually had a huge influence on the direction that my business life and my whole identity on paper would take to create more sort of tax advantage for me into the future. So Liam has been a huge influence on me. And so I'm super excited to get to share with you guys some of this incredible knowledge. So Liam, love you. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be on. Thanks for inviting me.
So Liam actually was also part of assisting in creating a lot of the questions that I'm asking on this interview series. So we are both extremely interested in money and how it works. And so let's start with the most basic, straightforward question. What is money?
There's two answers that come up for me. One of them is the short answer and the long answer. So the short answer for me is it's basically a symbol. I mean, we think money is money, but it's not. It's a promissory note. And the form of money that we have today is largely it's based on a fiat currency system. It's not what it actually is. And the long answer is whatever you want it to be is what it can be. I mean, I used to think money was what you had to have in order to function, and now I realize it's not. It's just a tool that allows you to do so. I used to think as well that money was mine, and I no longer have that point of view. I don't think it's mine anymore. It just exists, and I'm temporarily holding on to it.
Okay, so I have to unpack both of those a little bit. So okay. A question about the first one and a question about the second one. So what do you mean that money is a symbol? So what do you mean by symbol?
Okay, so a symbol is anything. It's anything that means something when you look at it. So it can be anything. It could be a drawing on a piece of paper. It could be a physical object. An iPhone is a symbol. It's a status symbol.
Right. And this is why so many of us project so many different meanings onto money, because that symbol can represent so many different things to so many different people.
Exactly. And the really interesting thing about a symbol is you can turn it into whatever you like. Mm. So take something like, I know it's a touchy subject for some people or for most people, but something
it's a weird complex subject, but yeah.
Something like a swastika, right? It used to be a peace symbol in India, but it's been twisted and turned into what it is. And if you look at something like So the reason I'm bringing that up is because it's one when everyone collectively agrees that something is something, and the symbol is the reference point, and it's the shining torch that keeps that going, then it it becomes its own reality. You can take anything and turn it into a symbol. And the reason how this relates to money is if you read a £10 note, or if you read a currency, I don't know if it's gotten on all of them, but if you read a £10 note, it says, I promise to pay the bearer the sum of £10 on demand. I butchered that, but it says something along the lines of that. So what it is it's a promissory note. And most, like all currencies are promissory notes. All cash, pieces of cash paper are promissory notes. They're not actual valuable items. They're symbols. They're IOU notes. They're sticky notes with IOU money. And it's set up so you can use that symbol to... It used to be that you could collect gold with it, but now it's been removed from that purpose. So it's literally just for the symbol itself. And I mean, money is the value it is because we collectively agree that it is that value.
Right. So based on that awareness and that information that money is a symbol and it works because we collectively agree that it has value. So based on that awareness, what are some of the ways that money can be... What are the ways and some of the ways that money can work for us in that way? And how does then it work against us in that way?
So I think it all comes down to the way that you look at it. For some people, money is the greatest joy and it's an amazing tool. And for some people, they don't want to even have to deal with it. They don't know why they have to deal with it. They wish it was different. And this is the interesting thing. It's the same thing. Physically, it's the same thing. It's the same symbol. It's the same piece of paper. But for two people, it can be a completely different thing. And it's where it works against you is where it's the meaning that you place upon what money is. And the way it works for you. Oh, you were going to say, sorry.
Well, and that's why I wanted to call this series like the money interviews, because when you say money, like it brings up so many different things for so many different people. And one of the ways in which I got like sanity and peace and ability around money was recognizing these things that you're stating. Because if you don't actually look at like what money is and then everything that is connected to that, you're always in reaction to it, never really the master of what's possible. And as long as you make money the symbol based on your definition of money, as long as you are constantly seeking the symbol or in reaction to the symbol of money, you never really get access to the ability to create or have money magic or have money be ease and everything that money brings be ease.
Yeah. It's almost like there's different levels of this as well. There's the symbol for you and what it is to you. And then there's the symbol of what it means when others see that you have it.
Mm.
And it goes, it's like, we've got all these things. It's like, trying to keep up with the Joneses. That's a whole created reality, but it's because of the symbols. It's the status symbols. It's all this kind of stuff. And that's like the first sort of layer of how the way you see money. It's like your environment provides you with the ways to look at money, and you end up adopting them because you don't know, you're not looking for your own environment. It's sort of like if you just relax and go with it and function and try and fit in, you'll end up adopting one of your neighbor's points of view or the people you grew up with and school and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of like the point I'm getting at is there's a choice that you can actually have in how you want to see it is a very important thing to be aware of. You don't have to stay with how you saw it, how you did see it before you change it.
So based on you knowing this stuff, what's money like for you? What's your relationship with it like on a daily basis? How do you function with it?
I to be honest, I don't even really think of money itself. Like I'm more interested in like, okay, what are people doing to align themselves to get it? Or how are people destroying it? How are people like moving it? How are people, why are people acquiring it? Why are people getting rid of it? What is it that they're trying to achieve? And I'm constantly on the side of that. I'm also looking at like, okay, what is it they're actually going for? And how does money fit in as a tool to do that? So it's like somebody wants to build a sculpture and then they just grab a hammer and they start using that. But it's pottery. Like they're trying to build pottery with like the wheel. And they grab a hammer and use that, and it doesn't really work. And the equivalent of that would be like a point of view of like money's too complicated. As soon as you say that, you just block it all off, and then you enter into when you're holding the hammer, everything looks like a nail. So if you're trying to see how everything is too hard, you will find it. And I'm constantly looking at like the structures and the thought systems that I'm looking at with money to sort of just be aware of it and look at, not just on a personal level, but for other people and businesses and industries and all that kind of stuff.
So what do you mean? So can you extrapolate? So how do you use money as a tool?
So the very, very short, simple answer is it convinces other people to do something for you. Or, whether it's give you the product that's in the store and let you leave the store without having a security guard chase you. Or they do a service for you in exchange for it. And it's fascinating to me with what you can actually do with money. Because the more, this is the thing, it's like supply and demand. The more somebody wants money, the more they'll do something for it. Mm. And I don't mean like sinister things. I mean, like the amount of work that they will do, and it, once you push the line out as well, it's like I feel like I'm going everywhere all at the same time. But
well, you are, but you make total sense. Well, you make total sense to me, so keep going.
Okay, so like if you look at it's a tool for it's almost like a power that we have to influence our external environment.
Absolutely, yeah,
and that's the short answer.
And that's something that I had to learn a long time ago when I was growing my business and growing my life and stuff. I noticed that I was struggling a lot with money. And my dad pointed out, my dad, who's Gary Douglas, who's also interviewed in this series, stated to me, he's like, are you willing to have the power of money? And I was like, nope. And I knew it because I just had so many negative connotations with what people did with the power of money. And he said, well, what if, you know, would you be willing to have money if it meant that you could buy, you know, endangered forests? And I was like, wow, I never saw that could be the power of money too. So money is a power. And I like the tool analogy because it's essentially you can create or destroy with the tool, depending on the hand that holds it. The money has no objective. It's the hand that holds it that creates or destroys with it.
Exactly. It was really well put as well. Another thing I just want to add in quickly is, For anyone going, yeah, but like this means absolutely nothing when I can't pay the rent.
Right.
And they're already in a situation like this.
This is nice philosophy and everything.
Yeah. And there's no practical shit in this. Here's something practical that you can do. If every time you hear the word money or think about money, it's just painful, like in your chest and your stomach and it's hurting, don't use the word money. Use something like credits or like a video game credits or coins or marbles, like just use any other word apart from money, because what that will do is it'll disassociate all of the points of view and feelings that you have about it, and it'll allow you to look at the information that you're able to get on it without it trying to fit it into your bucket or your mental framework that you already have built around money.
I love that.
And you'll start
so
being able
much.
To see new, yeah. You'll see it in a new way completely if you just disassociate it.
Well, it shows you also how arbitrary money is, because if I said like, well, I need a million marbles to do this, it takes the charge completely off of it. Where if I say I need $1 million, it's a way different energy. But if I just need a million
everything
marbles,
comes up. Yeah.
You know,
or call it
a million
units.
Marbles, it's like, or a million units or a million credits. Yeah. I like marbles because it's sort of like also has an association with playfulness and like a child's toy. Which yeah. Essentially, like, exactly, it's the symbol that we place the value on that is actually what's relevant. We place value, we place our value onto it, therefore it has value. And that's, I think, is such an important thing to get, because the fiat currency, the paper note, has no value unless we believe it's so. So this really brings up so many questions about value. So I guess, like, okay, so here's a question. So if we took money away, as we know it, fiat currencies, gold, exchange rates, et cetera. If we took money and money markets away as we know it, what would you choose? How would you create?
As of tomorrow it's disappeared, or like the world like is right, just different?
Like right now it's disappeared.
It's disappeared. I'd probably wander around for a week wondering what the hell I'm supposed to do next. And like, I'd instantly go read a bunch of survival books and all this kind of stuff. Cause no money, no security guards are going to do their job because they're not getting any pay. So everything's going to get looted and all this kind of stuff.
Doesn't that then bring up the question of, if they're not getting paid for the job, what's motivating them? What actually, cause if you take the money away, then you can see where people are really choosing.
I sort of get your question now, and it's something else has come up. So I've actually thought about this a lot, like a long time. It's like, everyone's heard the whole thing, like the rat race. It's like you go to work to pay for a place to sleep. So you have a place to get to work, and you pay for the car, you pay for everything. And it's like, if you're self-sufficient, what if you just take... It's like the amount of stuff that you have to add in, like options and extras and settings and tools and all these kind of things that you have in your life are enablers. They enable you to do something to continue that cycle. It's like you use your phone to communicate with your workers. You use your car to get to where you're working. You use your house to sleep as a place. You use the money that you have to pay rent. And it's all of these things are built around that model. But it's like, what if you didn't have to go to work?
Well, and
what if you didn't have to go buy food? What if you didn't have to go do this? What if you could actually be more sustainable? All of that disappears.
That word you used is really an interesting one. It's built around that model. And so if we took away the model of money, like if we took away, not the concept, because I think it's even more interesting to just be like, okay, we all remember what money was, but now it no longer exists.
Hmm.
What would you choose? And this is one of the great, that's like, I would say like one of the great insanity, like financial insanity medications that my dad taught me. He said, you have to look as though money's not the issue. So he taught me the question of always ask, like, if money wasn't the issue, right? So if we remove money issues from the conversation, from your point of view, from reality, then you can see what's real and true for you. And this is what I think is so powerful and also kind of dangerous, but also very powerful about money, because it can obscure your ability to perceive what's real and true about your point of view. Because we make money real and true, but it isn't. As you stated, it isn't, and it isn't.
It's literally whatever we decide it is. I mean, you were talking about marbles before. The reason it's paper notes is because they stack. They're very thin, and they're easy to read. They're easy to carry. You can stack them together. Marbles, it's a big bag. Like, you know, it's if you get back in the old days, like if you get attacked by bandits, they're like, "Where's the gold?" They just look for a big chest anywhere on your cart. But with paper notes, it can be up your sleeve, it can be in your sock. It's like, but the whole thing with money is with what you were just talking about as well. It's like we have this place where we have come to an agreement of what it is, but not just that. But we've also come to an agreement of, it's almost like what is the culture around money? It's like you're not supposed to ask about other people's finances. It's rude. You're not supposed to tell other people how much you've made or if you've had made a fortune, because that's like insensitive. It's like there's all these kind of things. Like you're not supposed to talk about it. It's really not a good thing to do in most cultures. And it's like there is a culture around money, which is also a collective sort of viewpoint that people have from around money. Like it's hard. It's tough out there.
Which brings up the question, like, why? Why that? Why do we need to keep it secret? Why is it rude to talk about it?
Well, it's that because we've agreed it is. It's like, why is $50 worth $50? Because we just agree that it is. I mean, if two people in a room decide something, it's like when you're building a civilization or you're building a company, actually, a company, you start with two people.
I love that slip. I love that. Because that brings a whole other exciting idea into this. If businesses weren't about business as we know it, but they were actually about creating a civilization, would that change the way we create businesses? Anyways, go ahead with your business
thing. So let's say there's three people in a two people in a company, right? It's the founder and the other founder, and they bring somebody else in. Now, let's call him Jeff. If one of the founders gangs up with Jeff and they start doing something some way, the other founder is more likely to follow them than just let it go. But the most likely scenario is Jeff, the new employee, is going to change and adjust himself to fit in with the company that the founders have already created. And then when you've got 1,000 people in the company and you have one employee join, they can't come in and say, this isn't the way we should be doing things. It's like, get this guy out of here. And that's the same way. It's sort of the same way that we have society. It's like you have these people who come in and they say, this shouldn't be done. This, like, prime example, Jesus. Hey, there's a better way to do things. String him up. It's like, you know, it's like, it's easier to string someone up than to actually change the way that you function in order to look or even look at it, because you have to defend what it is, because you don't want to stick out. You don't want to be different because you get picked on. And this is learned from school as well. It's like such a thing from conditioning and stuff.
I think it's interesting that you're bringing out, like, you don't want to stick out and be different, because the thing that really set me free financially was acknowledging what was different about me and allowing myself to have my own financial reality. And that was a really weird thing to realize, that I actually had a financial reality that didn't match anybody's, and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
No, go for it. I was just saying,
Because so much of what goes on, especially with money, is conceptual. It's symbolic. It's not actually a practical, it's not a real engagement with what's real, with the elements of the world. It's all exists in our head. That's why if you hand a chimpanzee a 10-pound note, he would probably just wipe his butt with it. Whereas we would be like, oh my God, the value.
It is not our destiny to succumb to the destruction of the world. We have a choice to create a future that has greater possibility. What if every single action you take contributes? Actions for Futures is about empowering people to know that they are the ones creating the future. Visit actionsforfutures.com to find out how you can contribute to a more conscious future.
So what I kind of want to... I wanted to circle back around to the question of, like, why is it rude to talk about money? Because you brought that up.
Yeah,
and sure. I actually get that there's a pretty amazing doorway there. And I was when you said that we're not supposed to talk about it, I thought that's true. But I think my autism doesn't allow me to recognize that it's not appropriate to talk publicly about money, which is why I'm doing these interviews. Because I think this is a conversation that's really missing in the world. You get a lot of financial advice from people who offer no personal advice. Don't ever allow you to personally see their financial reality. Yeah. And that's what I think is so different about us and the other people in this money interview, is we're all really open books. It's like we are willing to expose our financial points of view, our financial realities, where we've failed financially, where we succeed financially, what our points of view are, where we're still working on stuff, and all of the ways in which that contributes to creating.
You literally just answered it. It's what you said about it. We're so open, and we look at what we've failed at, and we're open to changing our point of view, and whatever it is, we'll look at it and change it. It's like the whole thing. There is no real reason why it's rude to talk about money. It's just like you've got to interpret what it is based on what you think it is. But it's kind of like the way I look at it is, if people are talking about money and they don't feel they haven't had the education, and they haven't educated themselves, and they don't know where to turn, they don't really see like a doorway to get out of their current situation, it's like I don't have time to do this. I'm working three jobs. If you're in that situation, it's very difficult to create ease out of thin air. It's like you've got to, because you're constantly looking at that and changing that. But if you talk about that, and you've got some rich guy who comes along and starts saying, oh yeah, like I'm going to drive my Lambo on Tuesday, I'm going to drive my Bentley on Thursday. It's like, it's such a polarity difference that it creates like a fuck this guy, it's almost sort of thing. Oh shit, sorry.
I think we can say whatever. Okay. I think we should say whatever we want and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, because that's, I mean, look, the whole thing of censorship is just ridiculous anyway, but yeah, they have these points of view about these people, but if you expose, like, I only make, I don't know, $11,000 a year, and I'm working my ass off, and I'm never getting anywhere, I'm in debt, that's seen as weakness.
The judgment.
And you'll
the
get judgment, these projections and the judgment. Yeah. And people don't want to experience that because it's painful. Because they go, oh, they think I'm an idiot. And I am. I must be. So they invent that it's rude.
And on the
that's
but on the
rude
flip side,
ask that.
But on the flip side, I also just got to like why a lot of people wouldn't want to talk about money, because potentially they would have gained their money and wealth by raping and pillaging and genociding entire like indigenous nations. And it's like not necessarily a pleasant thing to bring up, nor do you want people to see the evil that you did. So everyone out there who thinks that you did that, and everywhere you did evil or have been like brainwashed to believe that to get money, you have to do evil, you know, because money does get, you know, it's either, there's so many judgments around it. And I get that that's why it's not easy to talk about and not easy to create with. But something I wanted to ask you is you're somebody who is very interested in money and but beyond money, sort of how everything that it sort of attaches to financial markets, businesses, economy as a whole, how we function psychologically as cultures based on currency. Mm. Where does that interest come from in your world? Like,
it's almost like one thing that I think there was a moment where. I don't know if I remember it, but I think there was a moment where I learned one thing, and that led to two things, which led to three things, and I ended up looking up at the end of the day, and I realized I was in a completely different way. That I was in a different mode of seeing the world, and I looked at that, and I was like, "Wow, I am looking at these streets, and I'm looking at the people functioning, and." They're not even thinking of this. It was almost like the knowledge that you can get from self-education and looking at going where you want to go and learning how you want to learn and learning about things you want to learn. It's almost like you shift the way you see reality through a different set of eyes, and that allows you to build. It allows you to build points of view. If you see like every string getting pulled and it's like this is pulling this string and yeah, every gear, every cog, it's almost like at that point you don't have to take what you're given, you get to pick what you'd like to have.
Yes. And this is one of the huge things that when I started this interview, I mentioned that you had actually influenced me in a really dynamic way that changed the direction. And what that was, I don't know, like 5 years ago, it was some years ago,
yeah.
I had started making, I made my first million. And then I noticed how like the taxation became like really up in my face. Before you're making money, the taxation agents aren't really that aggressive. But as soon as you actually start making some money, then they come out of the woodwork. And I was like, after like a year and a half of constantly dealing with like aggressive taxation agencies, because I was an American citizen living and having a business in Australia. And it was like, oh my God, it was like endless. And I was complaining one night. And then you were just like, you have to stop being an American. And I was like, I had never considered that that's where I should go with this. And it actually took me some years to work through what you had, the seed that you had planted. But essentially, those of you guys that don't know this out there, the US and one other tiny African country named Eritrea are the only two countries in the world that tax their citizens when they do not reside within the country's borders. So I was filing taxes in Australia. I was filing taxes in the US. It was like constant. And the more money I made, the more work I had to do to deal with the taxation agencies. And your solution was just stop being American. And I thought, can I even do that? But you challenged the core of my identity. And it was the core of my nation's identity that was having so much impact and dictating how I could financially manage my wealth.
Yeah. And you just said it again there. It's like, it tapped the, you asked me before, like, what is it that gets you to look at this stuff and why do you ask this and why do you go after it and why do you pursue this knowledge? It's like that moment where you were like, wait, I can do that? And it was like, it never was even a possibility to you. It's like, you can change, you can get those incoming like thoughts. Every time you go down a rabbit hole with something, you can totally blow your own paradigm.
Exactly. If you're willing to go far enough out and question everything, and you made me question my nationality, and I was like, stop being American. And I looked at that, I was like, my first question was like, how do I do that? And then I figured out how. And it took me some years, but it was one of the massive, like, central cogs for. That wasn't actually working. And I was like, but this is where we take, this is where the conversation about money gets to be so then entrenched and intertwined with our identity, because depending on the nation that you were born or the passport that you hold, you come with a whole, but you're sort of like given at birth this financial preset mold, which is what you were talking about. When you enter a company with 1,000 employees, you're not going to have a lot of chance to change the company culture. When you're born into America, that chance changing the monetary policy of America, you're just subject to it.
Exactly.
And you really showed me that I don't need to be subject to, I can create a different possibility.
And it's not an external thing that you, I mean, you did external actions with that, with renouncing citizenship and stuff, but it was really an internal process change for you. It was almost like you changed gear to change the ratio. And a lot of people go, this is my operating system. I can't change. I can't do it.
Right.
It's whatever. It's busted hardware.
I'm just going to suffer.
You can hot air chips out of your like circuit board and put a different component in. Like, you can do whatever you want, but people don't know that they can do that. They just think it is. It's, you can't change hardware. You can literally look at any aspect of your life. You can look at any aspect of like how you think about money and change it if you want. You have to look at how you got there, what viewpoint that you're looking from, assemble other viewpoints and go, okay, it's like the book that Gary always talks about, that Alexandria Quartet. It's the same events written from four different classes of people at the same time. And it shows you that negative events to one person are actually nothing to somebody else, and positive events to some other person are directly negative events. And it you realize it's the same thing that's going on for all of them, but it's their viewpoint that actually determines how you see something. And things that happen in the world, if they don't, I've got to be careful with this, but it's almost like, if it's information, it's basically like a symbol. It's like, it has a meaning. It's like, it's either a threat to security or it means something. Like things themselves do not disturb people. It's the thoughts they place upon them that actually creates the disturbance. And you learn what is disturbing by the people you grew up with, but you can change all of this. It's like,
exactly.
You can change all
exactly.
of it. And
exactly.
I'd love people to know that.
Exactly. And I would too. And that's why I'm doing this conversation and putting this out into the world. And I know that like those of you out there like listening to this right now are probably like, might even still be stuck back like 25 minutes ago. So that's why this is available. You can watch this and listen to this as much as you want. Liam is a real trickster because you literally have no other way of checking him out. There's no website or anything. So this is a real gem. And thank you for coming on to have this conversation with me. And can I also announce like a really exciting thing that we're working on that I would love everyone to just like keep in your awareness. So I've been trying to create this book called The Economy of Consciousness for about a year and a half. And I made some headway, but boy, was I not making enough headway. And then Liam pops in and literally you gifted me a whole section on what is money. And I was like, oh my God, this is so totally the energy that was missing from this. And Liam and I are now working on The Economy of Consciousness. And a lot of what we've been talking about today will be presented in much more fleshed out ways in the book. So everyone just keep your eyes open for that. We'll see how long it takes. I take a million years to write books. I think with Liam, this might go a little bit faster. And it's like both of us have been totally blessed with our own unique perspective and the courage to be unique. And we both have a unusual interest and proclivity towards finance, money, having manifestation, gold, et cetera. So we are still carry the thread of money magic. And oh my gosh, wouldn't the world be such a different place if you guys allowed more of that magic into your lives? So thank you. Thank you, Liam. Thank you, everybody out there. Hope you got something from this. Check out links and notes in the video below. And how's it get better, guys?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to this show. My target is to make consciousness easy to find and choose. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes and share this with somebody who you know who might be looking for more consciousness in their life. You can visit me on shannon-o'hara.com or talktotheentities.com. And to learn more about the amazing tools of Access Consciousness, you can visit accessconsciousness.com and be sure to subscribe to the podcast.